I don't even know if I know how this stuff works anymore. It's hard to believe the crude oil went negative, but negative $37 a barrel? What the heck? I mean, it's almost like the rest of the commodity world hit the pause button to watch history being made.
Live from unprecedented territory via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Robert Lowry from the Price Group. And in the final segment, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory with his Monday Artak Attack. And in the first segment, Jack Scovel from the Price Futures Group joins us. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry!
All right. Thank you, Davis.
Wow. You betcha.
This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The lowest that I saw was a negative 37.10, and it might have been lower than that. I don't even know. And I mean, it's not down $37 a barrel. At negative $37, it was off like $55 a barrel.
Yeah, it's priced at 37 a barrel, below zero.
Below zero.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, and... Like I said, you just kind of start to wonder, do you even understand how this stuff works anymore? But when we're talking only about the May contract, the May crude oil contract, which is in delivery.
Right. Right.
Set to expire. What this means is that the owners of the crude oil are paying somebody to take delivery of that product.
Right.
But... those that are maybe in a position or were in a position to take delivery of product are no longer in position to take delivery of product because there's no place left to put the stuff.
Right, right.
Okay, so, hey, man, normally I'd be more than willing to get $37 a barrel to take delivery. But when you don't have any place to put it, you are also scrambling to get out of those long positions.
Right.
So that
right.
you don't have to take delivery. So you've got the drillers of the world that are saying, my gosh, we just need to do something to get rid of this stuff. Yes, it's negative. And yes, it's going to go even more negative. But those that were holding a short position, I'm sorry, holding a long position, they don't want it either. So they're getting out.
Right.
It's just absolutely unbelievable. Well, stuff that I never thought I'd see, Davis.
Yes, yes. Between crude oil and the wheat market, I've made a charming mashup, if you don't mind. I think I can express this day's market action in song. It goes a little something like this.
Yeah. That's all good. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Does that help?
It does. It does. It does help
so.
A little bit.
I thought
bit.
It might.
Because that wheat market, man, it exploded overnight, traded sharply higher, and we ended off the session highs, but still saw some solid gains. I think a lot of what's happening there is evidently Russia and Ukraine, they put their second quarter targets out there and decided that we were going to or that they were going to export only up to that level because we don't know what the supply situation is going to be going forward because of COVID and umpteen other different things. So they put a limit on what they were going to make available in the second quarter of 2020. Well, now it looks like they're going to be essentially sold out of second quarter wheat by sometime next week.
Right, right. On these closes in the wheat market today, July hard red winter wheat, 17 cents higher, 502 and a quarter. July soft red up 13 and three quarters to close at 547 and a half. July spring wheat scampered 3.5 cents higher to 523 even. So there you go.
Right, right. And then in the corn market, you can't ignore the influence of what happened in the crude oil trade as having a negative influence on corn prices. But guys, this is an ethanol thing. That's what this is about right now. And yes, there is a connection between ethanol and crude prices, but this is just demand destruction. That's what we're talking about for the pressure on corn prices.
Yeah, today's close, you got your May corn futures 8 cents lower, 314 and a quarter. July corn fell 7 cents, 322 and a quarter. Dease corn at 337, down 6.5 on the day.
Right, and then on soybeans, we continued to talk about the supply of product coming out of South America and flowing into China. That's going to be the number one market or the number one origin for soybeans going into Asia for the time being. And that's just going to make it really difficult to get this bean market going to the upside.
Yeah, we've got May bean futures 6 cents lower today, 826 and a half. July off six at 836 and a quarter. Novi bean futures looks like 845 and three quarters, down 5.25 cents on the day, Chip.
Yeah, I think this cattle trade right now, Davis, is trying to figure out, is there any relation between cash price and front month futures? And there should be. And there should be. And I don't know if there is or not, because if the cash market last week just felt like it was they were setting the price, not discovering the price.
Right. June live cattle off $1.20, $85.10. August cattle off $1 to $90.10. May feeders fell $2 to $1.17.27.5. Just quickly here, your hog closes. May lean hogs $2.67.5 higher. 40.60 in July jumped $1.85, $53.77.5, pal.
Yeah. Production struggles and good pork movement right now. So it's a market that I'm not exactly how it's all going to shake out, but here we are. Yeah. We'll figure it out together. Yep. Let's bring Scoville. Yeah, bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Jack, craziest thing you've ever seen?
Very definitely. I never thought crude oil could do – well, I never thought any market could do this anymore. I know, like, onions and potatoes did this years and years and years ago, where we were trading more for the burlap sacks or something like that. But, oh, my goodness. I mean, $40 – minus $40 crude. Who would have ever thought it?
Yeah, not me and not in a long way. I mean, we've seen some of this stuff in the cash market before, Jack, and really that's kind of what we're talking about. But in the cash feeder pig market, wiener pig market, you know, take the load of pigs and, oh, by the way, here's $2 to $5 extra just for taking them off my hands. So we've seen it before like that, but never in the futures market like this.
Oh, Lordy, no. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable. It is really historic. It's not anything I expect to see ever again. Maybe it will next couple of months or something, but longer term, we must be scraping the bottom of the barrel of the crude oil market here, and the demand destruction that goes along with it, and the demand destruction everywhere.
Right, right. Okay, so this hog market, pretty good trade there today.
Yeah, that was great. The hogs reacting a little bit better cash, I think. A little bit better sentiment over there. The cattle market, I wish it would, because the cash has been actually holding up much better than the futures have, but still no relationship over there. Right. And boy, the hogs though are just continuing to prove that they've found a bottom here, and of course we're in a sideways trade.
Cool, good stuff, Jack. Thank you, sir. Take care. We'll talk to you again next week. That's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. All right, we've got Bob Lowry coming up next, right here on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Monday.
Crude oil's got a serious case of the Mondays.
That it does. Maybe another cup of coffee for crude oil. Hey, I just had a text, or not a text here, a tweet kind of caught my eye, and Twitter is absolutely lit up. at SLCC_1. Just saw a meth head siphoning diesel back into my tanks. My, how the world has changed. Just that fast, putting the diesel back.
Joke's on him.
Our problems are solved.
Joke's on him. We ain't paying him nothing.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Crazy stuff. Corn under pressure. Soybeans under pressure. Wheat was higher. Live cattle, feeder cattle under pressure. Lean hogs posted some solid gains. And crude oil futures, like $40 lower.
Way lower.
Yeah.
No, $40.
It's like $65 lower at a negative $40.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
But let's talk about the June, though. I'm trying to get to my screen here while I'm stammering. The June,
you know, for the first time, they've got the price changes more than 100%.
Ouch.
Yeah.
June, you know, on my screen, 21.25.
Yeah, those guys that say, yeah, well, geez, our price went down like 150%. Did it really? Well, in this case.
Yeah. It really did. Oh, and I just got a text from my wife. She wants to get into the crude oil business now. Buy low, sell high, right? She says.
Yeah. You know, if you had a storage facility there on the lower mezzanine.
I'm going to see if she can get some barrels.
They're giving them away. They're paying you to take them. Of course. Of course she can get some.
Oh, the barrel comes with it?
Comes with it. Heck
that
yes.
Changes everything.
It does. I mean, the scrap value has got to be better.
Didn't Buffett say the barrel's at least worth $5?
Yeah, I think so. You should not. Robert Lowry, the price group out in southeast Nebraska. Robert, we shouldn't be laughing about this, but how do you not? No.
Well, Chip, we're in uncharted territory. I think we've got to look at what's been going on in ethanol, what's been going on in the crude oil. Today, the bottom just completely fell out, as you was talking about there. Yeah. And crude oil, that's a matter of they'll stop production here before very long. They can't produce at these levels. And, you know, I think it's going to have an effect. We've seen this here, you know, with all the coronavirus and all the shut-ins and the people driving less and everything. That's put pressure on the crude oil and gasoline and everything out there. So, you know, and that's it's kind of, you're seeing some different commodities in there that's having some changes in there. You know, you're seeing the bright spot in the wheat market out there. The corn continues to struggle, continues to fall down here. And we're probably gonna work a little bit lower in that corn here in the near term.
Right. You know, and just stress on the crude oil market. Yeah, we've got that May contract in the delivery that is somewhere around a negative 40 quote, something like that. Right now, I'm not a negative 35 quote. but the June contract is at 21.19. And so there's – go ahead.
Even, Chip, if you go out to the October crude, which we've taken guys out to that month there to protect some of their needs out there, the October, you know, you're still trading around that $31. It's coming down here some. But, you know, it's a good time for guys to be looking out there to maybe locking some of their needs in if they haven't done it at this point yet. The market's still coming down. We don't know how much further it's going to go down, but at these levels, or October might go down there and retest that low down around that $26 a barrel. Right. You know, and I would definitely be looking at that to get some coverage on at them prices there, and if the market we'll see a rebound come back out here somewhat. And but looking, looking at the corn market out there,
okay.
I think we've seen 2 years where we've had differences, kind of what we're seeing this year here, going back to 2009, 2016, which both them years we dropped off into March, put our lows in, had a recovery back into June, and then fell back into July or July to September, put our lows in again. I think we could very, very easily follow that pattern this year again with all the carryover that we have in the corn. mm-hmm. out there. I think that there's a lot of farmers at this point are taking and they're going to go to the field. I've got guys planting yep. down here today and across Iowa as well. The big thing that scares me in the corn market moving forward with the numbers that we're seeing, you know, that 97 million acres, some of them are talking that we could go from a 15% stock usage ratio to as much mm-hmm. as 25 to 29% stock usage ratio. We don't have the export markets. We know we're behind about 385 million bushel on our exports, mm-hmm. and some are okay. thinking that could increase another 300 million out there, and also with the reduction in ethanol usage out there as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something we have to look at. Now, if you look today on the corn and to see what people are really preparing for, if you go out there and look at the July, there was about 9,000 contract, a little over 9,000 310 puts bought today on okay. the July 310 puts. You know, they're not. There's only 1,000 of the 350 calls bought. They bought between the 310, 320, a little over 16,000, almost 17,000 between the 310 and 320 puts bought today. Added to that, these wow. people are still banking on the market coming down, and they're protecting themselves, and that's what they're doing. They're taking protection. With the market coming down here, I still think we'll probably maybe work off here down around 307 as a chart count that I'm looking at
okay.
on the July. Now, we had earlier when we come out with the insurance package there at the 388, we stepped in and bought December 380 puts at that same time. Looking at mm-hmm. that, okay, we're going to protect ourselves. With a 380 insurance package, or 388 insurance, that actually takes you down to about 310 if you make your normal yield before your insurance will kick in. So that's what we're looking at. We'll probably go down there close to that 310.
Okay.
If you have the puts in place, a guy can either buy futures or he can take some profit out of them puts there as well.
Okay. But
the guys are still putting these on. And they're still adding the puts, more puts than what they're adding calls. And, you know, so that's telling me there's still some fear that we still got some downside to go into this market yet.
Okay, so this big play in the 310 and 320s, how does that end, Bob? Do they are these going to be liquidated positions, do you think? Liquidated puts?
Well, they could be either one. I mean, they could be maybe liquidated puts, or if a guy's buying a put, I think guys are looking, if it gets down that low, they want to take ownership of corn.
Okay.
You know, they're protecting their insurance, because there's no guarantee on the insurance that if it does go down, that it's going to stay there. It has to be under 310 before they're going to collect on that come December, this fall. Now, we all know that the package that they put out just last week, that the government allowed $16 billion towards the farm aid help out there, aid, which that is real close to the same, if not the same, as last year. I think the $3 billion package that they put on top of that is just a little bit more for buying ag products in there.
Yep.
So looking at that, and there's no guarantees on this yet. I mean, we do know that it's allocated out. But if looking at that, that's going to figure about 32 to 35 cents a bushel that producers can probably look at as getting a direct payment on, or the MFP payment again this year. There's no guarantees on that yet, but mm-hmm. they have allocated $16 billion. We do know that. So last year, that's kind of what it figured out, and you got to figure that partly into your marketing program.
Right.
On the soybean.
Just a word of caution on that. You also have to factor in the $125,000 per commodity pay cap on that too, Robert.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So
that's true. That's
yep.
true for the bigger farmers. That is true.
Yep.
And there is guys we've talked to that wasn't able to take all of it because they didn't have it divided down enough out there too. And that's
right.
you know, a disadvantage to that. But
yep.
so I
yep.
think.
Hey.
I think
Yeah, we got to take a break, Bob. But when we come back, we're going to finish up this conversation about what it looks like in the corn market. We're going to get over to soybeans a little bit, take a look forward, and I got to get Robert's take on what's happening in cattle and hog trade as well. We're talking with Bob Lowry. Bob is with the Price Group out of Southeast Nebraska. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in a moment. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. The Ag Aid package lands with a thud. Analysts say the $19 billion program is not nearly enough to deal with the wounds caused by the pandemic, and the program is designed in such a way that it creates divisions of winners and losers within each commodity. Purdue said there almost certainly will be more aid announced in the coming months. Rising Chinese demand for imports of soybeans and pork are reported. ICAR drops its Russian wheat crop estimate, and Russia will hit its second quarter wheat export targets by early May. Japan is reducing the mix of corn in the animal feed, and the U.S. steel industry has fallen into the most severe downturn since the 2008 financial crisis. Check out all that Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. We are talking with Bob Lowry today and Davis. Before we get back to that conversation, if we could recap how the markets have closed.
Sure thing. Well, July hard red winter wheat was 17 cents higher, 502 and a quarter. July soft red jumped 13 and three quarters to close at 547 and a half. May corn futures, 8 cents lower, 314 and a quarter. These corn, 337 today. That's down 6.5 cents. May soybean futures were 6 cents lower, 826 and a half. Novi beans closed at 845 and three quarters, down 5.25 cents. On the livestock side, June live cattle fell $1.20 to $85.10. May feeders fell $2 to $117.27 and a half. And May lean hogs were $2.67 and one half higher at $40.60. Chip, there's your quick market recap.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. We're talking with Robert Lowry today, the Price Group branch manager out in Nebraska. Bob, you were talking about the play that is active in the 310, the 320 puts in corn. What about beans? What are you seeing happen there?
I think your beans have probably have got some potential to work out of here. I think the thing that gives me some hope on the beans out there is if you look at the stock usage ratio on beans out there, we were 12% this year. With a crop, 83 million acres planted, even a 49 bushel yield, we could get down to possibly a 6.7 trend line yield, or not trend line yield, but stock usage ratio.
Right.
So I do think that the beans, possibly, we could come down a little bit further. I think we've been drawn down here with the corn and the other commodities out there that spring the market. We're getting close to a double bottom on the November beans, watching it. We possibly could go down 837 to 825 is going to be my targets there. Possibly we could go down to that $8 range in there on the soybeans. The crush has been good. The exports have been picking up on beans. So I do think it will come back up out of here. And I do think there's some potential that we can come back towards that somewhere up there to them last highs that we had, 882, 907 in that area. Again, if you look at your MFP possibly payment on that, a dollar that you possibly could add on top of that, that's going to be bringing it back up your off your bases. Take your 70 cents off and put a buck back on. So about 30 to 40 cents over the future market there at that time.
Okay. Now, I realize that guys are running, and you said it yourself that there's some corn going in the ground right now. Is there any time left to move any of these acres from corn over to soybeans, Bob?
No, oh, I think they're going to switch clear up to the end of planting. I think you're going to One big thing that I've heard you mention a little bit on the show, I haven't talked about it too much, but cotton has been very, very low. And going in there, I do think you're going to see some cotton acres come into soybeans. I do think you're going to see some corn acres get switched into soybeans. We could increase the acres. Yes, we can bring that back up. Our exports has been better on beans, and we've got the fears of ethanol out there on the corn there as well. So I do think there's potential that the beans can come back up. A person doesn't want to get his sights set too high, but with your MFP payments, I think you're going to have to get the guys back up near a 950 cash level, including your MFP payments into that. And I think some guys will start doing some selling at that level. And I do think we got a chance we could reach that later this spring or into the summertime on the beans.
Okay. All right. Hey, cattle trade. I said it at the start of the show, Bob. I'm not even sure if what we're seeing in this cattle market right now is are we dealing with a price that's being set, or is there still price discovery happening?
Cattle is like a big poker game. Whoever's got the biggest hand is forcing the futures. There's a big difference in there between your future price and where the cash is at. I think we got to watch the June cattle out here. We're right at a level that we got to be watching real close, around this 85 and a quarter range, $85 range in there. If we can hold, if we can start to hold that area, I do think down the road that we can probably start to make a reverse head and shoulders. There's no reason that futures should be $10-$12 under where the cash is at.
Yeah. You know?
Now, I heard someone on your show the other day said they're going to buy the April futures, and if they want to deliver them. Well, that can be a pretty touch-and-go situation if you get the cattle delivered on you, you know. And so, yeah. But, you know, some people might do it, and they've seen them do it with grain there as well.
Yeah, you want to make sure that the closest slaughterhouse is still up and running before you do a strategy like that, right?
And that's exactly true, and that's exactly what, on the hog side, that's exactly what people are running into with the COVID virus out there. Mm-hmm. I've heard several people out there that are saying they have nowhere to go with these hogs, and they're also cutting the guys back on what they can deliver in, if they'll even take the hogs, which is throwing them into a real problem. I'm hearing, you know, back in 98, mm-hmm. we've seen hogs, baby pigs that actually got gassed out there.
Yeah.
There's some of that happening right now with people not knowing what to do with these pigs. They can't move forward. Cattle, you can stretch them for another 60 days. You cannot stretch them hogs another 60 days out there when you've got your schedules backed up with your farrowing and weaning and everything behind. So it's causing a real problem. It's causing a real problem. Down the road, we could see a man-made shortage in a lot of these commodities out there.
Right.
And so that could help to drive these prices back up here a ways, especially in the hogs. Could see it some in the cattle. I think, we're seeing a lot happening here in the grains with what we've seen with the tariffs this year, you know. Mm-hmm. And that kind of took a lot of the bloom away from the grains. We lost a lot of that market, which is going to South America. South America is still the king for exports out there, and China is still buying from South America more than they're buying from the United States. So we can't do without them, but we got to be able to work with them there as well.
Right, right. So on this cattle thing, I want to get back to that, Robert, because there's proposals out there to basically completely revamp the way that cattle are traded. You know, the 30-14 that we talked about with Scott Varlick on Friday, that 30% of the cattle on a daily basis have to be price negotiated, and they have to see the knife in 14 days. Do you think that, I mean, if that can happen, I think it does bring Boy, I don't know. What do you think of that proposal?
Well, like I say, anytime that you have this big of a discount, and I mean it's being driven by big money, you know, a discount to the futures compared to the cash. And the cash market, I mean, is will come back out here. I mean, we're seeing an adjustment out here from people that were buying at the restaurants and places that are shut down that are going to the grocery store and having to buy more meat and eating more from home. We have not turned the corner on that yet. It takes time to get that what they were normally going to the restaurants to get it switched over to get that volume coming to the meat counter. Right. And that's what we're seeing out there. Plus people, fear of running out of beef or seeing empty shelves, are stepping up there and buying more than what they normally would buy. And there could be a law in here. There could be a law for a little bit. But as they get their freezers full, but down the road, we're going to see this thing turn around and we'll start coming back. We just got to get some... We got to get some strength in the market. We got to get some enthusiasm back in the market out here to where people are looking forward. There's just a lot of negativeness in the market today with not only the grain producers today are planting a crop looking at a negative profit loss.
Yeah.
And they can't produce it there. Most farmers I talked to last year, if it wouldn't have been for the MFP payment, wouldn't have been showing a profit out there.
Right.
And that's what we got to get away from. We got to come back out of here. Farmers want to produce and be able to produce at a price that's going to reward them, plus be serviceable to the community out there as well.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Robert, thank you so much for your time today, my friend. We'll talk with you again soon.
Okay. We'll talk to you
all
later.
Right. You bet. That is Robert Lowry, the Price Group, the Nebraska branch manager for the Price Group out there in southeast Nebraska. Yeah, this cattle trade and lean hog trade and everything, when we got the announcement of the aid package on Friday, late Friday, Davis, one of the things that I was looking for there was some kind of an indication that some CCC money was going to be spent in an effort to keep the slaughterhouses open. And I know that there's the attitude is, you know, making that much money per head on beef and making that much money per head on hogs ought to be enough incentive to find a way to keep those slaughterhouses open. Well, yes, it is, but at the same time, it's such a PR issue, and the hostilities between labor and ownership are through the roof right now. I don't know. I don't have the right
producers
answer.
Aren't
I'm
real
sure
happy either. Too, it's a mess.
That's right. That's right. Carrie's up next.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on, for our family and yours.
In my eyes. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is with me. Just wrapped up a conversation with Bob Lowry. And now it's time to bring in Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory. How you doing there, Carrie?
I'm doing pretty good, Chip. How are you doing today?
Well, not doing too bad. I'm seeing some things that I never imagined that I would see. So, you know, that's always interesting.
Sure is.
Oh, I tell you. Okay, let's jump into this. What do you got going in the corn market, man?
July corn, a big picture, long-term reminder, you know, that the broader corn futures market remains heavy through the balance of the year below 359 and a quarter. I had a long-term sell signal last month in March with 222 even, a price point that's well below the market, considered a credible long-term, like, you know, 8 to 12-month target. I don't mean to rattle your or your listeners' cage when I say that, because I understand that's a significant price depreciation, but that's what the big picture is suggesting. Nearer term, 327 and a quarter above the market about 5 cents from today's close is a pivot point into the month of May. And so, you know, the May contract settled last week below that 327 and a quarter. July has now shifted to lead contract with another weekly settlement this Friday below 327 and a quarter, likely to yield 275 even by the end of June. At 275 even, we could get a nice bounce through summer, possibly back up into the 320s or 340s following that test. And I'm way ahead of myself here, but a weekly settlement below 275 even over the next few months would sustain bearish momentum into late summer, fall. That 222 even 1 year target then likely realized within a mere 2 to 3 more months, where the broader corn market can actually place a decade long low. Upside, a weekly settlement Friday in the July contract above 327 and a quarter would allow what I'd call a hard fought rally over the next 3 to 5 weeks up into that 359 and a quarter long-term resistance area, where once again, this market can top out through the balance of year. And it's also the point needed to settle above to indicate a good annual low and neutralize that 222 even 1 year downside objective. On to July soybeans. Last week, the May contract settled just below that 840 even long-term support I mentioned on your show, which did indicate continued bearish trade into summer activity. The soybean market is also presently in the midst of rolling to July as lead contract, which will be complete by the end of this week. In other words, a July contract settlement this Friday below 841 even would essentially underscore last week's May contract longer-term sell signal, with 791 even in reach then over the next 3 to 5 weeks, and 684 even long-term support over the next 3 to 5 months, where the broader bean market can actually bottom out into next year. Upside, a weekly settlement Friday above 841 even July contract should stabilize the outlook into May trade. 887 even, then likely over the following 3 to 5 weeks or so. 887 even is likely to contain weekly buying pressures when tested. It's also a meaningful upside pivot point into later July contract life. In other words, closing above 887 even should mark a good spring low and sustained recovery, say, by the end of June into July expiration to 973 even, where the broader bean market can place a summer high, possibly good through the balance of the year. June live cattle, my outlook remains the same as it has the last month or so in the broader cattle market, with 89.25, about four handles higher than we are now, able to contain buying really into June expiration for the next few months, and below which the broader market can continue south over that time horizon, over the next 2 to 3 months, down to 65.50, where an annual low can and should be placed. Now, upside, if June live cattle can close the week above 89.25, then the broader cattle market has finally indicated a good spring low, 102.45 then becoming a 3 to 5 week objective, possibly yielding the 108 to 110 region by June expiration, where the broader cattle market can top out through summer. So, you know, bottom line right now with June live cattle, 89.25 pivot point above the market determines the directional dynamic into later spring, below which 65.5 in reach over the next few months. While closing above 89.25, we could over the next few months reach into that 108 to 110 region. And, you know, I've been listening to some of your people, a lot of lean hog commentary. Yeah. I just want to mention that on my monthly chart going back 30 years over the last couple of weeks, we've been testing a long-term area between 40.52 and 41.70 June contract. And having tested that, I'm now expecting recovery to at least 58.70 over the next few weeks. And over the next few months, we could push into the mid to upper 70, 77.02. And so that is in the cards, I think, right now. That all becomes null and void if we close the week Friday below 40.52. Then I'm expecting 31.77 within a few weeks, and we could. We've got some early 1970s lows in the very low 20s, 2020 even, an historic low area that would be anticipated within a few months of closing below 40.52 June contract on Friday. But until then, we've tested long-term support. Lean hogs are free to rally into the upper 50s over the next few weeks and perhaps into the mid to upper 70s over the next few months. And that's really all I got to say.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff, Kerry. I don't like the numbers by any stretch in most of those, but certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I'm wrong on and, the 222 you know, even corn.
yeah, no kidding. But it does – all you're doing is saying, listen, regardless of the fundamentals, and we don't know what could make it happen, this is what the chart picture looks like.
Exactly. And that's the, those that having closed below 359 and a quarter, that was a 15-year channel structure. Long-term sell signals have longer-term consequences and sometimes significant price moves over that time horizon. So I don't see a whole lot holding the corn market together in a big picture way until we get down to the low 220s. But, you know, 275 even is a nice stopping point on the way down. That could actually snag annual lows on the way down. And then from there, who knows? You're right. Fundamentals could play out.
Right. Kerry, thanks, my friend. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Chip. Take care.
Don't forget, if you want a free trial, a two-week free trial of Kerry's work, just go to RTAC, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com, and Kerry will take care of you. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook, April 26th through the 30th, has got above-normal temperatures in the western Corn Belt. Think Highway 71 in Iowa and points to the west. We're looking at above-normal temperatures. And basically everything to the east of that, we're looking at below normal temperatures. So a real dividing line in there. But we've got below normal precipitation expected over the western Corn Belt and all the way over through Illinois and into western Indiana. So, wow. We've got the green flag flying on planting. At least a lot of guys, even if Mother Nature didn't really wave the green flag, guys waved the green flag on their own and they said we're off and running and not a lot going to be in the way. Hey, tomorrow morning, Brett Crosby from U.S. Cattlemen and Senator Joni Ernst, and tomorrow afternoon, Rick Brock right here on AgriTalk.